Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
If I win on November 8th, I think I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration.
All right, makes sense. It's common sense. I mean, we all want peace, not war. No, that's not true. Suddenly, all of the pacifists and all of the anti-war activists want war with Russia. Isn't that interesting how crazy they've gotten? Now, let me back up here. This is crazy. If it's reached a point, by the way, you're listening to the Savage Nation, it's reached a point where if Donald Trump got up and said, I loved my mother, the New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, CNN, CBS, New York Daily News would run a blockbuster headline that said, Trump hates women. He only loved his mother. Or Trump hates men, only loved his mother. Now, that's how crazy it's getting. And let me tell you something, it's really sickening because there's a lot at stake right now in the world. We are at war with radical Islam. Have you forgotten the number of terrorist bombings and beheadings? Have you forgotten that young girls as young as 7 and 8 years old are being sold as sex slaves in the Middle East? And here we have Hillary Clinton, who represents herself as a champion of women, not mentioning industrial-level rape going on, not mentioning current slavery going on. Now, I got to back it up again on the Savage Nation. Mr. Trump comes on this show yesterday, and in the midst of our very, very natural conversation, I ask him about the Russia situation, and he said he would be willing to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin before Inauguration Day if he's elected as president. All of a sudden, New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, CNN, CBS News, New York Daily News, The Hill, MSNBC, all of a sudden they're attacking Trump for wanting to make peace instead of war with Russia. Have they lost their collective minds, I ask myself. So let me back it up again. Who am I? First of all, I come from a liberal Democrat family. Let me start with that. Again, I will remind you, I'm the only member of the American media that I know of, the major American media, who is actually the son of an immigrant. I'm a first-generation American. What does that make me? Well, it makes me a guy who has one world in the immigrant world and one foot in the immigrant world and one foot in the nativist world. I understand the whole sequence here in this country. But it also is important that you know that my father was not a raging conservative. He was actually quite a liberal. He used to read the New York Post and tell me how intelligent it was in the days when it was a liberal newspaper, before it became a psychopathic, whatever it is, it's not a liberal newspaper at all. There are no liberal newspapers. They're propaganda sheets. They're not presenting liberal ideas. They're presenting propagandist ideas. So I was a social worker. You have to remember that as well. I didn't start out as some conservative guy. I started out as a social worker. I wanted to help the downtrodden and the poor until I learned that they were doing better than I was as a college graduate. They were living better than I was as a young college graduate. And that's the beginning of the turn. And then later on, I found out that the whole system was rigged against white males and that they were only hiring people with less credentials who were not white males. And I wrote a little pamphlet in those days called The Death of the White Male that I don't even want to talk about it. I am a writer prior to being an orator or a talk show host, if you want to put it to you that way. And here I wake up and I'm covering an election. I've come out for Trump from the beginning, not because I know the man, not because he's promised me anything, not because I think he's smarter than Winston Churchill and George Washington put together, but because I believe his message is my message of borders, language, and culture. And without a nation, what do I have? Tell me why my grandfather fled Russia and came here and kissed the earth. So I could get up here and spit on the earth and say that we shouldn't have an America anymore because it's passé? Because the banks don't want a nation anymore, they don't want borders anymore, so they find a personage in Hillary Clinton who also will erase the borders for them. So now I want to talk about this by asking you a question. What do you think of Trump's idea to meet with Vladimir Putin, should he become president, prior to being inaugurated? What is wrong with that idea? I'd actually like to hear from people on the other side. Tell me what is wrong with meeting with Vladimir Putin to stop the war fever that's going on. Do you know that Russia, as we speak, is sailing a major, major battle group through the English Channel? It's a show of force because just the other day, bumbling Biden threatened a cyber war against Russia. What did you expect Putin to do? Back down? He's not one of the girls surrounding Obama who's never been in a fist fight. The bullies surrounding Obama have gotten to the top of the social order by being radical, piggish bullies. They've bullied their way through universities. They've bullied their way through government. They've bullied their way through every governmental bureaucracy. And now they're running the world and they think they can bully everyone on the planet. Well, they can't. And the last man standing is Vladimir Putin. So he's not going to back down. That's not his nature. You know what's odd to me about all of this is that we have on record Mrs. Clinton herself saying strong countries talk with adversaries. Yeah, you know, wait, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton said it's strong countries that talk with adversaries. In 2015, Clinton said we must empathize with enemies of the United States. Empathize with their perspective and points of view. Can you believe this? And now she's calling him Hitler and wants war. Listen to clip 10 and see the disconnect, the actual insanity that is now passing for dialogue in our political war. Listen to this, 15, number whatever called for, 10.
This is what 10. We call smart power, using every possible tool and partner to advance peace and security, leaving no one on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view, helping to define the problems, determine the solutions. That is what we believe in the 21st century will change the prospects for peace.
Which Hillary Clinton was that? Because she doesn't exist anymore. The new Hillary Clinton called Putin Hitler and wants to go to war with him. Now we have two Obamas, at least. We have Obama who continuously provokes Russia. And then we had Obama in the past saying strong countries talk with adversaries. Listen to clip 11.
Strong countries and strong presidents talk to their adversaries. That's what Kennedy did with Khrushchev. That's what Reagan did with Gorbachev. That's what Nixon did with Mao. I mean, think about it. Iran, Cuba, Venezuela, these countries are tiny compared to the Soviet Union. They don't pose a serious threat to us the way the Soviet Union posed a threat to us, and yet we were willing to talk to the Soviet Union at the time when they were saying, we're going to wipe you off the planet.
Right on! All power to the people! Right on! Well, which Obama is running the country now? Which head is screwed on today? In 08, he made sense. So many people fell for the lies, and they voted for him again. They voted for the con man again, because he sounded like a man of peace. In fact, he's a Nobel Prize winner, Peace Prize winner. Now he wants war with Russia. Because just today, I'm giving you the whole show in the opening. I can go home right after this opening. Because I don't think I'm going to talk about the Hillary story. Hillary fixer breaks ranks, arranged sex trysts for her with men and women. If I get into that, it means I'm violating my own belief system. I don't want to talk about... First of all, I just had lunch, and I'll lose my lunch if I have to talk about Hillary having sex with anybody. Excuse me. I just ate. You know, there's only so much I can take, but there's so much. I have a very fertile imagination. So if you think I'm going to talk about that after eating lunch, you're crazy. But let's go back to the really important stuff, like World War III and how to stop it. And that's this. Why won't he meet with Putin instead of demonizing Putin? What's happened to Barack Obama? Who is whispering in his ear? Why are they attacking Putin day and night? I just played you two sound bites. Clinton said we must empathize with enemies of the U.S. That's when they were peddling the Iran deal. In 08, Obama said strong countries talk with adversaries. Okay, man of peace. Now you have the Obama of today, where a reporter asked him about Trump meeting Putin before taking office. This is an astonishing answer that he gave. I want you to listen to clip 9 on the Savage Nation right now.
Donald Trump says Hillary Clinton talks too tough about Vladimir Putin and that both of you insult the Russian leader. He also said that if elected, he might meet with the Russian leader before his inauguration. What do you think of Trump's approach to Putin and how would it affect America's interest on the international stage?
Any characterization that somehow we have improperly challenged Russian aggression or have somehow tried to encroach on their legitimate interests is just wrong.
Really?
And Mr. Trump's continued flattery of Mr. Putin the degree to which he appears to model many of his policies and approaches to politics on Mr. Putin is unprecedented in American politics.
You're a liar. Come on, Barry. Cut it out. Not everybody is an acolyte. Not everybody is one of your stooges. Everything you say, we fall on our hands and knees, that the king has spoken. You're just a hypocrite and a liar. What do you mean it's unprecedented? You yourself said that strong countries talk with adversaries. Which side of the mouth are you talking out of today, Obama? We are way past attacking domestic enemies with your fancy double talk. You are now bringing the world to the brink of World War III. The Russians have sailed a major fleet, or sailing it right through the English Channel, including a 55,000-ton aircraft carrier, which, by the way, is not a rust bucket falling apart. They have upgraded the Navy while you have destroyed our Navy. They have upgraded their bomber command while you have destroyed our bomber command. They have upgraded their nuclear arsenal while you have decimated ours. Watch out what the hell you're saying! So who is Obama being... Who is controlling Obama? The man of peace, I could understand why people voted for him. Nobody wants war, especially people who have fought in wars. Nobody wants war except lunatics. So now you have a complete pack of progressive pacifists who have turned 180, and now they're war hawks. They've gone from doves to hawks for reasons we don't even understand. And they're rattling sabers. They're threatening a cyber war against Russia. And all we're asking is them to sit down with Putin and stop it. Instead, he attacks the one candidate who says he will sit down with Putin and stop this war talk. And then he says Trump's continued flattery of Putin and the way he models many of his policies and approaches to politics is unprecedented in American politics. But he himself in 2002 said the opposite. I'll play a clip 11 when I come back, where he said strong countries and strong presidents talk to their adversaries. And now he's saying that if Trump's president, he shouldn't talk to his adversary. Why is Obama trying to make us fear Russia more than this government is the real question? And the secondary question, for which I have no answer, only suspicions, is who changed Barack Obama from a dove or a peacenik to a warhawk? Who did this to him? Who wants war? Who is behind the stage whispering in his ear telling him to make Putin the worst man on the planet? Who would benefit from even a limited war with Russia? It's pretty clear to me that this goes back to the Eisenhower warning of the military-industrial complex. That's on the face of it the obvious answer, that there are people salivating. Neocons, neolibs are salivating for a limited war with Russia. I think even these lunatic profiteers don't want a real nuclear war, but I don't know. Maybe they're in the bomb shelter business. Maybe there's a certain senator's husband who wisely went into the shelter business a few months ago. We don't know that. The one who made vests for our military that failed in combat, he never went to jail. Who knows? Maybe he went into the bomb shelter business a few months ago. Who wants this war? Which one of the three crazy sisters or three crazy cousins in the San Francisco politics want war with Russia? Which one? Boxer, Feinstein, Pelosi? Now all of a sudden the grandmothers want war? I thought that they were certifiable peaceniks. So who's pushing this war? Where are the voices of reason? The only reasonable voice I heard other than Trump's is Jill Stein, who's running as a Green candidate. Even she said that if Hillary's elected, we're liable to have World War III. I am very consistent in my politics. These people on the other side are dangerous demagogues, and I believe they're out of control. So I throw the question back to my audience again. I'm going to throw the question back to you once again. And I'd like to hear from, peaceniks. What do you think of Trump's idea to meet Putin? Can someone answer that question? Please call me. We'll also do what the Hillary hitman tells all about the... She ordered me to destroy Bill's sex victims, bribe reporters to bury truth, ruin Monica Lewinsky, hide her sleazy affairs, pay hush money to hookers. Are you interested in Hillary Clinton's affairs? As I said to you, I just ate chicken noodle soup prior to going on air. I can't do it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So you want me to get salacious now? I mean, we'll go salacious. Let's forget World War III. Let's forget Obama's madness towards Putin. Let's talk about the secret sex freak who would be president. I arranged a meeting for Hillary and a woman in an exclusive Beverly Hills hotel. The man who was hired by the Clintons via a Hollywood executive to cover up their scandals told the Inquirer. She had come to the studio to see the filming of a movie in 1990. While I was there, I helped her slip out of a back exit for one-on-one session with the other woman. It was made to look casual, even quiet. Do I care about Hillary's flings with women? Why is that an issue? Can anyone tell me why I should care about it? Even when Bill was going after everything with a pulse when he was in the White House, even in the 90s, I said, hey, what do you want me to say about that? We got bigger issues than you know, his sex drive. That's between him and his wife. You know what I mean? Leave me alone with it already. I am a sexual libertarian, number one. That you got to understand that. Don't confuse me with some, moralistic guy who's going to sit here and cast stones at her. The fact of the matter is, so what? Why does this matter? Tell me why. Okay, it matters now because they've been smearing Trump. I get it. Okay, I get it. In other words, the seedy romps of Hillary and Bill is an issue now only because they've been smearing Trump because he accidentally brushed against someone while exiting an airplane in 1914. I get it. Oh, I'm sorry. Now I see why this is an important story. It's spy versus spy. In this bombshell expose, the Inquirer will reveal the fixer's dossier of smoking gun proof, including 24 years of documents, notes, and journals. Clinton Bagman story in his own words for the very first time. It's a hot story, but I think that World War III and stopping it might be a bit higher on the totem pole of interest for me today. However, I know America. No one ever went broke underestimating the audience in America, as a wise commentator said in the 1930s. But I'm not Mencken. I'm Savage. So I'll be back to talk about the high and the low. I think you'll be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We are appealing to our friends in Russia. We are trying to tell them that we, the American people, do not hate you. We do not hate Vladimir Putin, and we do not want war with Russia. If there is no one else in America who will dare stand up and say we do not want war, it's a group of renegades in the government who are pushing us towards war, then those of us who have been given a modicum of communication have an obligation to speak out right now. I doubt very much that you will hear anyone else in the media daring to stand up to the government media complex. But we don't want war. See, war is real. The women who are surrounding Obama, and I should say even the men surrounding Obama, seem to have been, totally disconnected from reality. I don't know what world they're living in. I don't think they know reality. I don't think they understand that you can't bully your way through everything on the planet by threatening everybody on the planet. They've gotten where they are through bullying and through backstabbing. That's true. But there comes a point at which you don't bully and backstab on the world stage, especially when the other side has nuclear weapons and a leader who is forceful and nationalistic and is now sailing a nuclear fleet through the English Channel. Why is he doing it? Because you threatened a cyber war against him, Mr. Biden. You, with the loose lips, threatened cyber war against Russia just the other day. And what did you expect Vladimir Putin to do? Say, I'm sorry, because you threatened him? You know, there's an old adage, never get into a fight that you think you might lose, or it's another way, actually I heard it another way, don't engage in a fight that you're not sure you can win. I was told that when I was young. Never get into a fight that you're not sure you can win. Now, why would this country, with its depleted military, with its destroyed command structure, with a woman in charge of the Air Force who has never flown a plane, glorified air traffic controller, a woman in charge of the U.S. Navy who's never actually steered, I guess, a boat over maybe a Chris Craft on a Lake Michigan. She's now the number one admiral. Suddenly she's Admiral Potemkin. How in the world did this country get upside down like this? It's a comic book, except now we're no longer having a comedy show. Now we're on the verge of a tragedy show. So why is Obama suddenly the other Obama, the one we never saw? Why is he suddenly so militant? I liked him better as the pacifist, the peacenik. At least I knew that I had on one side a pacifist and a peacenik. At least I understood that. And now all of a sudden we have another Obama, Mr. War Power. All of a sudden he wants war. He hates Trump because Trump said that if he wins, he'll meet Putin before taking office. And Obama, all of a sudden, freaks out. His policies and approaches to politics on Putin is unprecedented in American politics. No, it is not. If I remember the history of America in my lifetime, there were many cases where emissaries who were not president went to adversaries and talked to them. I can go back to the age of the PLO. Didn't we have many times when senators went and talked to Yasser Arafat, for example, to make peace with the PLO? Don't you remember those days? In many cases in the past, Mr. Obama, when power was not centralized, when senators themselves stepped up to make peace, to stop the war talk. But you are, you see, here's the problem. Obama is so power mad right now. He feels he's leaving office and he's got to go out with a bang. Or he doesn't want to leave office and he wants a big bang before he leaves so he doesn't leave. Well, God knows what's behind all of this. But now all of a sudden he's the opposite of what he was. Let me tell you something. There's a saying in the Bible from Romans 13:7, which applies in this case. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear and honor to whom honor. I fear Barack Obama. I fear Hillary Clinton. I know the customs of America. I pay my taxes to the last cent. But my friends, do you want to see a limited nuclear exchange with Russia because we are living with an administration that is so ego-driven and so power-mad, or worse yet, that they're just challenging him on a daily basis? Well, my friends, I'd rather talk about that, and I'll keep doing the flashback of Obama saying in 08, strong countries talk with adversaries. That was in May of 08. Isn't that before he became president or after? When did he win? He won in 07, he was already president? I don't know. I don't remember anymore. I can't do the years. Was he president when he said that? Play 11 while you're looking it up. I think he was already the prez.
Strong countries and strong presidents talk to their adversaries. That's what Kennedy did with Khrushchev.
Right on.
That's what Reagan did with Gorbachev.
All power.
That's what
to the
Nixon
people.
Did with Mao. I mean,
right
think
on.
About it. Iran, Cuba, Venezuela, these countries are tiny compared to the Soviet Union. They don't pose a serious threat to us the way the Soviet Union posed a threat to us, and yet we were willing to talk to the Soviet Union at the time when they were saying we're going to wipe you off the planet.
So this is before he was president, when he was presenting himself as a peacenik from Chicago. And we said, all right, look, we don't want war. Nobody wants to go to war again. This is after Iraq. This is after Afghanistan. America was very anti-war. Most nations are extremely anti-war, especially men who've gone to war and their families who didn't go to war. In fact, warriors are usually anti. The most anti-war people in America are the warriors. I don't know if you know that. The most people who talk most about war are the folks who have never, ever been pushed down a flight of stairs in a grade school in the Bronx, or have never turned around and had a fist jammed into their nose and they saw stars and fell down a flight of stairs on an iron staircase. The world changes when you're punched in the nose by an adversary. It's a different world. So what I'm saying to you is nobody of any right mind would want war with Russia when you can have peace. Then Clinton in 15 said that we have to empathize. Listen again to 10. It's important you finally hear me. Listen to me carefully.
This is what we call smart power, using every possible tool and partner to advance peace and security, leaving no one on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and, insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view, helping to define the problems, determine the solutions. That is what we believe in the 21st century will change. change the prospects for peace.
Where did that Hillary Clinton go? How did we get this Hillary Clinton now? All of a sudden, a warmonger. She went from Mrs. Peace and smart power to war power. From smart power to war power in a few months. 2 years now, 1 year. So Donald Trump comes on the radio show yesterday, and he says, here's the thing with, you don't understand this about me and him. We don't know each other, but we talk like we do, because we lived on the opposite sides of the tracks in Queens, New York. He lived on the correct side of Union Turnpike in Jamaica States. I lived on the attached house side. To me, it was paradise anyway, coming from a tenement. I loved living where I lived, and he lived near Alley Pond, I think Cunningham Park, right? And, when you don't have a house like they had up there, you would go buy it on a bicycle. And you dream when you were richer and older, you'd buy a house up in there. So he came from there, and he lived in a very, by the way, looking at it now, the house he lived in with five children that the father built or bought, it was a small house. It was like 3,500, 5,000 square feet for all those people. Today, in the area where I live, a woman has a kitchen that size in which she doesn't cook. The women in the area in which I live have 5,000 square foot kitchens, and they never cook anything. They don't even boil water. Everything is takeout or go out. So in those days, the kitchen of today, the whole house. But to us, it was a big house. I don't know whether it was the air of the area, but we were rational people, those of us who grew up in Queens in those years. Maybe we were, I figured out last night why Trump and I get along. In addition to my beliefs, borders, language, and culture, being identical to his on almost every, I don't see one issue I disagree with him on yet. Maybe he's a little too liberal on some of the issues. But nevertheless, I don't want to go into the issues for the moment. I thought about why he's able to relate to me, even though he was a rich kid and I was a poor kid. And I figured it out. All those buildings he has built in Manhattan and around the world, but let's say in the Manhattan, all of those buildings required him knowing how to talk with the union guys, how to talk with the bricklayers, how to talk with the construction guys, the plumbers, the electricians. Every one of them came from my kind of background, around the same kind of background. So his whole life has been communicating with people like me. So in other words, when he talks with me on the radio show, the people say, gee, you must know each other. You have such a natural ability to speak with each other. I said, well, we don't know each other, but we think alike. And I realized last night why. It's because to build those wonderful buildings that he's built, by the way, using all union labor, I don't know why the New York Times or Daily News, which hates him so much, won't even say that. We've had people call the show who are union guys who said Donald Trump used all union labor in all the buildings he built. Not one word. Listen to me. I could see being a liberal, a true liberal. What happened to them? Where'd they go? How did true liberals disappear in my lifetime? I came from a liberal family. I went to Queens College initially, City University of New York, all liberal teachers, every last one of them. And I learned all the philosophy of liberalism. We were raised on the great 100 great books of the University of Chicago. That was the curriculum in that time in Queens College. For the kids who didn't have the money to go to, a different school, we went to City Colleges. It was such a tough school. You had to take two languages. You had to pass the two languages. There was no faking it. It was all destroyed with open admissions years after I left, and they destroyed the colleges. They destroyed them all with their stupidity of affirmative action. You put a dummy in a classroom with smart kids, what do you think is going to happen? The people have to slow down for the dummies. Everybody loses. Go figure that out. But get back to me the next time you're facing a surgeon's scalpel. Tell me which surgeon you want. The one who was forced upon you or the one who actually earned it? But that's another story. See my perspective? I come from that perspective. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care what your sexual orientation is. I don't care what your country of origin is. If you earn it, you earn it. But no one should give it to you just because you came from that country or you're of a particular orientation or whatever the story is. That's nonsense. Because as I wrote 15 years ago, or actually before radio, we're talking 25 years ago, I wrote years ago, I'm in total favor of equality. Okay? Total favor of equality. But here's the caveat. But without quality, you cannot have equality. How's that for a line? You didn't hear that one yet? Without quality, you cannot have equality. You understand that? You'll have less than quality. So that's my perspective, and I think Trump sees it the same way. If he were to hire unqualified electricians, unqualified plumbers, unqualified carpenters, unqualified drywall people, His buildings would never have been put together right. They would have fallen apart. So he understood you needed quality to have equality. And I feel the same way. And now we get down to the reality of the world today. Liberals. So the professors I had taught me many of the edicts of liberalism, the protocols of the elders of liberalism. One of them was, I may disagree with you, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. I forget who wrote that. Robert, look that one up. That's a famous liberal statement. I may disagree with you, but I'd fight to the death your right to say it. Well, I think that's so gone when you compare that with the fraudulent propagandists like Anderson Cooper and Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper, the setup artists that they were working for corporate masters who were told to go after Trump and went after him, they did. And, of course, now Wednesday we have another debate tomorrow with Meatloaf Jr., the guy with the permanent sneer on his lip. This guy looks like he sleeps with a sneer. Like some people put a hairnet on at night to make sure the hair doesn't get out of place. It looks to me like Meatloaf Jr. wears a face net to make sure the sneer doesn't leave his lips. He looks like a tough guy. You know, when Donald was on the show yesterday, I said to him, listen, you were set up by that lowlife, Anderson Cooper, who all of a sudden found testosterone somewhere in his pinky and used it against you. We never knew he had any. And that other one, Martha, I don't even know who she was, where they got it from. It looks like the surgeon slipped with the scalpel a few times, but she won't be seen very much anymore. But nevertheless, tomorrow is Meatloaf Jr., Mike Wallace's son, George Wallace. No, not George Wallace. He was from another part of America. This Wallace is a northeastern boy. He's a northeastern boy, this Wallace. That Wallace was a southerner, and he was a cracker, that George. No, this is a different Wallace. This is Mike Wallace's boy, and I think his name is... I don't remember his name. I'm not doing this out of disrespect. I don't know his name. Wallace something. The guy with the sneer, the face... Chris Wallace. So I said, look, Donald, Wednesday night, he's going to set you up and try to pull a Snow White on you. No one knows my reference to Snow White. That's, of course, Melly Blondie. I don't remember her name right now. She's unimportant to me. She'll be forgotten in history. No one knows who she is. Snow White, Blondie from Fox News, Miss Perfect. You know, everyone's cheerleader type. I don't know her name. Megan Snow White Kelly. She pulled a job on Trump, remember, right off the bat? The ratings are in the toilet. Even Mad Cow's beating her now. Mad Cow's beating Snow White because people are abandoning Fox News because of what they're doing. So I said, look, when Meatloaf Jr. comes at you tomorrow and sets you up with a question, pull a Reagan on him, smile, lean back, look at him, look down at him and say, you know, I knew your father, Mike Wallace, and he was a real gentleman and a real journalist. He would be ashamed of you right now, Chris. I said it will shrink him into the mini-me that he's always been. And now I'll take a break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. So look, the fact of the matter is, I'm appealing to liberals out there, real liberals, to understand that liberalism can be a philosophy that's operational and accepting of other people, not a winner-take-all philosophy that crushes anyone who disagrees with them. What's happened now is that there is no true liberalism left in the political world. It seems to have dissolved. It's dissolved, and I don't know when. I can't finger point to who dissolved it. But the true liberals are gone. You can call them progs, as I do, because it's a kind of a descriptive term to describe the progressives today. It has a derogatory tone to it, which it should. Because the progs are not leading us forward. They're leading us backwards into a Soviet era that we will all regret, including the progs themselves, who also will feel the steel of the guillotine once it starts falling. Because the French Revolution taught us one thing. The guillotine has an endless desire for blood.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Question number one for this hour, what do you think of Trump citing to meet with Putin? And number two, I know you want to talk about the Hillary sex scandal that popped up on the National Enquirer right now. But here's my feeling about it. There's no smoking gun. If there was a smoking hen, the National Enquirer Hillary sex story would have eggs. But since there is no smoking hen to go with the story does not have eggs, nor any legs. So said the fool in the Shakespearean play in my head. But I'm nobody's fool. I know that this story is going to have more legs than eggs. I think I'll drop the now. It's funny, legs and eggs. I like that. Than you may imagine. I think it'll have legs and eggs because everyone loves sex stories. Hillary Hitman tells all. She ordered me to. Destroyed Bill's sex victims, bribe reporters to bury truth, ruin Monica Lewinsky, her again. Hide her sleazy sex affairs, pay hush money to hookers. Blockbuster 9-page investigation. But the problem is, the guy's saying she's a secret sex freak. I'm sorry to tell you, in the America that we live in now, that just elevated her in the eyes of most voters. Oh yeah, she went up in value. They like her even more. Now all of a sudden, this story makes her not only a feeble woman, now she's gone from a woman who might collapse in the White House to some superwoman. Yeah, they just built her up. They say it's a revelation by a former Clinton family operative who breaks ranks with his longtime boss to speak to the National Enquirer bombshell 9-page story. I arranged a meeting for Hillary and a woman in an exclusive Beverly Hills hotel. The man who was hired by the Clintons via Hollywood executive to cover up their scandal told the Enquirer. Photos. She had come to the studio to see the filming of a movie in 1994. Okay, I'm exhausted from it already. All right, so she had sex with a woman. And what? Every show on television now is this. Every other show. Tell me when you last saw a show showing a man and a woman getting married and having children and living together for more than 3 seconds. Son, this is my partner. Everyone's Gabby Hayes now. They're living on a chuck wagon together. This is my partner, Gabby. No one gets married all of a sudden. So you think they're going to care about Hillary Clinton was with a woman, if that's true at all? Suddenly she's going to look, wow, look at her, man. She's cool. Look at that. Hey, grandma's real estate girl got it, man. I know grandma's. I thought she was, no, man. I thought she was falling down. The shoe fell off. 3 weeks ago, she was on the street, flat on her behind with a shoe. Now all of a sudden, yeah, great, man. I can't look forward to being exciting like the reverse of the Kennedys. Like the Kennedys back, doing people in and out, back rooms. Can't wait to have it again. It'll be more exciting than what we have now with Obama, not a scandal around them. Everyone is like, what is going on? How come he has nobody? All these years, 8 years, he's gone without sex for 8 years? No, it's not one scintilla of anything in this area with the president. How is that possible? They even hinted Bush was, you know what I'm saying? Even he was given a little smear job along the way. 8 years, every other day there was something about Bush. 8 years with Obama, not even a hint. He gets thinner by the day, not a hint of why. Nothing. All right, God bless him. Maybe he's that way. Maybe that stuff doesn't interest him. Maybe he's old school. You know what I'm saying? Let's give him the credit. But now she, all of a sudden, she's a wild girl? It's like wild girl Hillary. And now what? The flings are a big deal? All right, you're not even going to read about it tomorrow. They won't cover this. No, this is below them. Oh, no, no. This is definitely below them. This is below the New York Times and the Wash Post and Politico and CNN and CBS News. They are going to sniff at this one. They will not cover this at all. But Trump, he was on an airplane. He sneezed and his, the sneeze touched a woman in the back of the airplane. Therefore, it was sexual assault. The droplets from Trump's sneeze touched the woman in the back of a 747 in 1981. And suddenly the woman comes forward saying, I can't help myself anymore. I can't live with the shame of having his droplets on me. There, dear, you'll be okay, says Gloria Allred. What a world we're living in. Look, the ancient Greeks said it's good to live in interesting times. Boy, were they right. Man, if they were here now, they would love this. These are interesting times, but where has true liberalism gone? Where has it gone? Where are the liberals of the era that I grew up in, where it was written so eloquently by Evelyn Beatrice Hall? We have the exact quote now, except my... Oh, this AOL is so antiquated. It's like, you've got mail. I'm still dealing with this. Who controls this? Is this CIA? I can't open my email, but it's Evelyn Beatrice Hall who said something along the lines, if I may disagree with you, but I'd fight to the death your right to say it. It's a takeoff on Voltaire. I love Voltaire. In fact, when I was a young man, I went to Paris, did my trip to Paris, the early one, big trip to Europe. I remember I loved going to the Voltaire statue because I loved reading Voltaire in college. Just to show you, you know, although I'm a knuckle-dragging right-winger, I actually read Voltaire in French. You know, it's hard to believe that we actually read. Some of us are multilingual. Some of us have doctorates. Some of us are literate. Hard to believe, I realize that, because you people on the left think that you control the entire intellectual apparatus of the world, but you don't. In fact, I had to read Claude Lévi-Strauss in the original French in graduate school and speak only in French. I don't remember much French today. I don't. You know, little words here and there. I'm not trying to impress you, but I did read philosophy along. Evelyn Beatrice Hall, whoever she was, wrote under the pseudonym G. Talentire. She wrote a biography of Voltaire. Well, what did she say that's important here? Oh, she wrote the phrase, I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. They think Voltaire said it. No one really means that, but it sounds good. It's like typical, like all liberal platitudes. It has no meaning whatsoever in real life. Are you kidding me? Yeah, the new liberal code today is, I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death my right to hate your guts and try to crush you with everything in me. That's attributed to Barack Obama. All right, so look, now let's move on. Let's go to the really important stuff, which is, let's play the Trump piece, the shorty, the eight-second job. Let's hear it.
If I win on November 8th, I think I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration.
That's all. Okay, so that's kind of important. So right away it explodes. The media explodes, and they try to turn it against him. New York Times, Maggie Haberman, Donald Trump says he might meet with Putin before inauguration. Washington Post, Jose Del Real, Trump says he would meet with Putin before inauguration day. Politico, Brent Griffiths, Trump says he may meet with Putin before start of his administration. CNN, Eli Watkins, I could see myself meeting with Putin before I'm president. CBS News, Donald Trump says if he wins he could visit Vladimir Putin before inauguration. New York Daily News, Trump says meeting with Russia, pal Putin would be wonderful. So every one of them tried to turn a man of peace, a man who wants to stop the war drums, into something negative. I couldn't believe my eyes. There's nothing he can do or say that they're going to ever say is rational. Can anyone listening to this show explain to me why it's wrong of Trump to say that, or what would be wrong with meeting him when even Obama said that back in 08? Same thing. Hillary said the same thing in 2015. That the mark of smart power is to meet with your adversaries, as I played those sound bites in the last hour. What's wrong with this now? How does this not make sense to anyone in these newspapers? So, as I said, not so jokingly, if Trump got up and said, I am Donald Trump and I love my mother, the New York Times would twist it and say, Trump says he didn't love his father. Trump only loves women. Trump has fixation on women, says he loved mother. Trump fixated on women, says he loved his mother. Trump, Oedipal mess, says Dr. Schmendrick from the Upper East Side of the toilet bowl water. Toilet water. Doctor of toilet water. You get some Schmendrick doctor that comes out on CNN, some cockamamie lunatic who's on drugs and medicated himself. Half his patients committed suicide, and they'll get him straightened out for 4 seconds, and he'll appear on Wolf Blitzer to say, by saying he loves his mother, it proves beyond a reasonable doubt that he molested women on airplanes in 1980. Then they'll wheel him off in the back. Come on, we can see through this. Right through it. So what's wrong with him saying he'll meet with them? Because I said, Obama said in 08, strong countries talk with adversaries. Hillary in 15 said we must empathize with enemies of the United States. And yet this morning, Barack Obama, the Nobel Prize winner, Peace Prize winner, attacks Putin. Attacks Trump for saying he'd meet with Putin if he becomes elected. And he says that, oh, Trump's Trump's approaches to politics on Mr. Putin is unprecedented in American politics. First of all, it's not unprecedented. How many people listening to this show can give me examples of the fact that this is not an unprecedented suggestion by Mr. Trump, that if he's elected, he would meet with an adversary to cool down war talk? Now, let's talk about this rationally. Remember Bill Richardson? I was never a fan of Bill Richardson. I always thought he was an operative. I never liked his style. I never trusted him. So he was like a sneak. He was like a fixer. He was like a Ray Donovan of the world stage. Whenever there was a problem, they sent him out with a fire hose. Remember? Wherever there's a world conflict, calling Bill Richardson. Teddy, stop it. My dog is ripping a couch in my studio right now. Sorry, I got to go natural. Because even a national show has to be stopped for a minute if a dog's ripping a couch. He's got a pair of claws in him. It's unbelievable. 12 pounds of terror. Love him. Bill Richardson would travel the world, globetrotter. Trouble in Syria, Bill Richardson. Trouble in Lebanon, Bill Richardson. Trouble with China, Bill Richardson. There he was. So what do you mean, Mr. Obama, that it's unprecedented for an American citizen of some stature to go talk to an enemy? What kind of crap is this? Where do they come up with these things? You talk about a guy going off script and making a fool of himself. I mean, they say Trump does that. What about Obama just went off script and made an idiot of himself? Can you play clip 9, but only his part of it, not the long thing? We'll do it when we come back. I'm too bored to play the whole thing right now. So, my friends, Trump's idea to meet Rasputin. He's been president for like, what, 20 years now? It's a long time. Maybe that's what Obama's jealous of, now that I think about it. The zeitgeist of that one. Like, how come he can be president for all those years and I can't? Only getting started, man. It's only 8 years. Think of what I could do with 20 years, man. 12 more years? Wow. I've only got 98% of my agenda through. I could do this in the 12 more minutes if I had a little more time. Maybe that's the jealousy, is that we have a rotten system where you can only run twice. He's sorry that they eliminated, you know, a lifetime appointment on after FDR, who like did a 14-year job. America's, wait a minute, we've got to put term limits on the presidency. How about term limits on everything in the country? Dianne Feinstein's been there since 1891. Dianne Feinstein's been in the Senate, I think, since Reconstruction. Barbara Boxer's been in the Senate, I think, since the Wailing Wall was built. Nancy Pelosi, since the Leaning Tower pizza was straight, she's been in the Senate. How can we have term limits on these women? At a certain point, you become so ossified in what you're doing and so protected that nothing you do, no matter what you do, you're not going to be challenged on it. So it's good to have term limits. Don't call me and say you're right, Mike. I agree with you. Look, my friends, FDR and Stalin got together to stop Hitler. For God's sakes, do you understand what I'm saying to you? Trump is 100% right on this. But I got to tell you this as well. Because I started to say it in the last hour, but I didn't lose my train of thought. I got it in my style, which is very natural and stream of consciousness. I got into some other ideas, and I didn't get back to the main thought, but it only took me an hour to get back to the main thought, because here I am. Here's the main thought. So the point was, is that because Trump and I have such a natural bon ami on the air together, that's not a cleansing, device. We get along because we speak the same language. And because of that, he listens to me, trusts me, and he answers me. So he answered this, and I think his staff probably today regrets that he did answer it. They maybe feel I set him up. I didn't set him up. I really wanted him to say if he would meet with Putin. That's why I asked him, because I think it's a good idea. But I think that today, maybe those people who get him on my show, you know, are sorry that he even answered it, because they're trying to make it into a negative. It's not a negative. Most Americans who are rational don't want war with Putin, no matter what Hillary says about him, no matter what Obama says, no matter what the media says. They don't want war. So it's a net positive. That's all I'm saying.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Trump saying that he would meet with Putin before taking office to cool things off. And everyone goes nuts. How dare he? Unprecedented. No one's ever done this. Blah, blah, blah. Now we read today an article in the Washington Beacon about Iran's recent war drills using Boeing commercial jets. The Iranians were using converted Boeing aircraft to refuel its fighter jets. I just learned that the Iranians do not use Boeing 747s only for commercial purposes, and that these drills by the Iranians highlight the militarily fungible nature of passenger aircraft. Many of the Boeing aircraft operated by the Iranian Air Force previously were used by Iran Air, and they converted commercial into military jets. How come we haven't heard Obama saying that's not right? That's not part of the agreement. That's not what we agreed to. That's not why we lifted sanctions. Not one word. And going back a few years, we were lectured by Clinton and Obama that it's strong countries talk with adversaries. So now because Trump says the same thing, they go ballistic. That's the biggest coverage I've ever had on my little humble radio show in my 22-year career. New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, CNN, CBS News. Now, when I was banned in Britain in 2009, it's true I had coverage by the BBC, CNN, and all of the other majors, because it was a shock that an American commentator would be banned from Britain based upon something he didn't even say. And they did want at least my side of the story. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. There is no Fox News anymore. You know, the old joke used to be I went to Europe, but it was closed, so I came home. In the 60s, we used to tell that joke. It was a snide way of saying Europe isn't there anymore. I went to Europe, but it was closed, so I came home. It'd become nothing but like fun land. You get it? Okay, more when I come back. I know you're hooked. What's the point?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
With, an undercurrent of messaging through the songs to get away with the government censors. You know, I play like Cuban music. Play Para Vivir. Yeah, Para Vivir, that's a great song. Or I'll do rock and roll and there'll be a message to you. I'll be more valuable to the government after she wins, if she should win, God forbid, than I am not on the air. Because I'll placate you. I'll keep you happy by playing rock and roll and reading your recipes, menus. I won't be able to talk about politics. That'll be banned, of course, in the new free America. Oh, for the sake of safety, there'll be no freedom. And for the sake of social order, there'll be no freedom of speech. But guys like me will be allowed to, like, play music, give recipes. Since I can cook, I'll give recipes. Since I know science, I'll do science. I know art, I can take you on a trip through a museum. I mean, there's many things in the world besides politics. And if it's one thing I am, it's a realist. You know, when fascism comes, what you got to do is you got to meet fascism halfway. Oh, I know most of you wouldn't do that, you principled people in the media. Are you going to fight fascism the way the ancestors fought to your British? Yeah, right, sure. You're going to strap on a gun. You're going to join a militia, right? Nah, no one's going to fight it. Except those in the militias. They'll fight it, right, tooth and nail. There's about 30 million armed men in this country who are not going to let these fascists take over the country. So now we're going to talk about this garbage, Hillary with a woman, for the National Enquirer by a fixer. So now she did women. First of all, the thought of it is that... I'm sorry. Personally, I don't care what she did. I mean, there's certain questions come up. Let's say they were a wild, swinging 60s couple, Bill and Hillary, just for the sake of argument. Let's just do it for it, get it over with. Let's clean house. That the story has truth to it. I don't know, but let's say. And why is it coming up now? Because they threw sex stuff at Trump that was false, and now they're going to get hit with the real. That's all. They want to play dirty. They want to sling mud. They just got hit with a thunderstorm. Trump did this. Trump sneezed on a plane. The droplets hit a woman in the back of the plane, and she's broken down in tears 35 years later. Her whole life was ruined because she got hit with a droplet from a Trump sneeze. And now she's so broken. Oh, honey, hold up. You're so brave. You're braver than any man on the front line. Oh, so clever. You need a napkin and a tissue. Only in a sick country like ours could Gloria Allred get away with this. Another nation, jail. Jail, on site. Interpol rounds her up. Where they get these women from? Okay, so that started with that stuff. So now we see the story in the Inquirer. Just came out, bing, on the Drudge Report. Hillary had lovers, male, female. He had this. We know about him. We know about the Wolf Man. Well, we didn't know. We said, you know, like there's always like an undercurrent, like a hint. That she, you know, who knows? And the rumors, okay. But like, yeah, you always look, don't even say it. She's a grandmother now. Those wild days. We don't hear anything about those days. First of all, it's not our business. Number two, it's disgusting. So now it's like, oh, an insider reveals all. But I'm asking, why does it matter? It's to get even with him and push aside the salacious garbage. And I hope it's so distasteful that the weasels inside her administration stop it against Trump, because they just got to hit harder than they hit him. The weasels, whoever they may be, got to stop this, because they're not doing her any service. And that we got to deal with the issues that America really cares about for the remaining 3 weeks. Not about whether someone sneezed and this and that, or Hillary did this and that. Because, again, personally, I don't care. Personally, I don't care. I told you that before. And I don't think it's gonna be a big story, because you know that the Times will never cover it. They'll never cover anything that's negative about Hillary, because they've selected her. They wanted to win. So that's the way it is. They're propaganda sheets. They have a right to their opinion. They own their own newspaper. I don't own them. They're not obligated to tell the truth. Where would you get the idea that newspapers should tell the truth? You know, that's a funny idea to begin with. People get so pissed off, like, oh, man, they're just telling the truth. They're outright lying. Where'd you get the idea that newspapers are supposed to be truth-sayers? What do you think, it's the Bible? I see fools here in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I broadcast from. They sit and read this throwaway newspaper, this piece of garbage. A ridiculous. It used to be great when I moved here. I moved here in 74. We had the San Francisco Examiner, Chronicle. They're both decent B newspapers. They were fun to read. They had literary content. They were somewhat balanced. They become lunatic asylums. It's always gay, lesbian, homeless, anti-police, every day. Police no good, criminals victims, all minorities victims, all white people evil, everyone has white privilege. Day and night the same thing, gays still, every day the same story. No one reads it. It's like they lose $10,000 a second. But no one changes at these things. So no one reads papers for the truth. Where did you get the idea that newspapers are supposed to be telling you the truth? Where did you get that idea? Oh, you have some idea about standards in journalism? Well, what is journalism? How did journalism originate? What were journalists originally? What is journalism? It's a business, number one. The object of journalism is to sell newspapers. I know a kid who went to journalism school. He couldn't even be an accountant. In those days when I went to college, amongst my milieu, doctor, lawyer, dentist, down the line, couldn't be a doctor, became a dentist, couldn't be a dentist, became a chiropractor, couldn't be a chiropractor, you became a podiatrist, couldn't be a podiatrist. You became a massage therapist in the Bahamas. You couldn't do that. You became a mortician. If you couldn't do any of that, you became a journalist. So he went to journalism school. I never heard of it. Nobody ever heard of a journalist in my milieu as a kid. It was not only disrespect. No one ever knew what a journalist was. I mean, journalist. How do you go to school to be a journalist? What does that mean? A guy can write and hold three words together. He became a journalist. So this kid went to journalism school, couldn't get a job. He went to work for a... He wrote obituaries to begin with. And he told me they made up all the stories in the newspaper he worked for. I don't remember the paper. He said every story he wrote was made up. Nothing was real. So what, anything's changed now? Woman touched by Trump, heartbroken for 30 years, been living in shame ever since. Read all about it. Okay, what do you expect from the journalistic profession? Okay, so there's no... And with the Hillary thing... can we go back to it again for a minute? I'll go back to it for a minute. We'll go to the Drudge Report, link it up. Hillary Fixer comes forward, telling, breaks ranks. I arranged sex trysts for her with men and women. Ooh! Stunning revelations from the Clinton's bag man. So they got back what they gave out. They have... the Clinton camp sowed the wind, and they just got hit with the whirlwind. So this should give them a warning. Whoever did this, whether it's Blumenthal, the weasel, or any of the other weasels surrounding Mrs. Clinton, they've got to stop this. Because there's so much dirt here it can get out of control. They got to go back to issues. If she really wants to present herself as a serious world leader, who is far more stable and trustworthy than Donald Trump, they better stop with the girl stuff. They better cut it out with the taxes and the girl crap. And what the debate ought to be about, Meatloaf Jr., if you're listening, hey, Meatloaf Jr. over there at Fox, why don't you stick to the real issues like... immigration, number one. Why does she want open borders? And why does he want closed borders? That's a reasonable question. Number two, Muslims. Why do we want more of them in this country? We don't have enough burqas? What, that's the nation you want to live in all of a sudden? You want to live in Lebanon? When did you decide you wanted to live in Lebanon? Because Barack Obama has a Islamist thing? Or shall I say he's Islamophilic? He's an Islamophile. Let's put it that way. Let's be nice about it. He's Islamophilic. And I'm Islamophobic. Okay, let's put it that way, if you want to put it that way. But if you look at any nation where Islam has become dominant, it's really not good for people. I really don't know of one nation where Islam has become prominent that's been very good for people. Do you? Well, if what I'm saying is false, why would they all be coming here? Why are they running away from the terrorist hellholes to come here? So they can bring what they left behind and give it to us with the burqas and the 15th century view of the world? Okay, so let's talk about the real issues at the next debate, Meatloaf Jr. Border security. Mr. Trump, do you still believe you're going to build a wall with Mexico and why? Mrs. Clinton, you want open borders. Why do you believe open borders are in the best interests of the American people, not only from the point of view of security, but from the point of view of business? Can you explain it in 1 minute or less, Mrs. Clinton? Okay, reasonable. Mr. Trump, you said that you would speak with Vladimir Putin if you're elected to cool things down. Why would you do that? Mrs. Clinton, you called Vladimir Putin Hitler. Why do you insist upon starting a war with Russia? These are reasonable questions that a moderator should ask. That's what Meatloaf Jr. should be asking on Wednesday. What other questions should be asked? Okay, the national debt has been doubled under Barack Obama, who's like a Mad King Ludwig. He's been printing money in order to satisfy the masses by giving them things they don't deserve. He's been printing money, diluting the value of the currency. How would you correct that, Mrs. Clinton? Would you stop printing money? Mr. Trump, what are your economic plans? Would you stop printing money? And why? How would you straighten out the economy? What would you do about the national debt? Mrs. Clinton, on the issue of immigration, you say that we should have open borders and unlimited immigrants coming into the country. How in the world are we supposed to take care of more immigrants when we have poor in this country who we can't take care of? Why should we be bringing in the world's poor? Who's going to take care of them? Next question. Mrs. Clinton, you say that the rich should pay their fair share of taxes. Why is it that Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and other corporations of that size are able to use a triple Dutch accounting system where they use offshore accounts or, let's say, foreign countries as conduits for their income, and they do not pay their fair share of taxes? Would you tax them retroactively for all of the money that they have not paid into the federal treasury over the last 10 years? Because that might amount to several $1 trillion, to balance the budget. Okay, Mr. Trump, you said you want to lower taxes on corporations. Explain to the average person why that makes sense. You see what I'm saying? I'm not reading a script. I'm not Meatloaf Jr. I write the books. I don't need to read anyone else's books or articles. I right now have a best-selling book called Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. 4 or 5 weeks on the New York Times list with zero media coverage. No reviews in the Times, Daily News, Washington Post. I didn't exist. No appearances on Fox News, even though if they got a terrorist, a hooker, a bomb thrower, Snow White would rip her petticoats to get him on the show. But an American icon like Michael Savage, she wants nothing to do with. Why? Because it's a personal thing. She doesn't like me because I ridiculed her. I'm the only one daring call her what she is. She's like a nasty cheerleader. The type of girl in high school everyone hated. She's not a nice person. And she's not that smart. Hillary Fixer breaks. Yeah, go back to that again. Hillary Fixer breaks ranks. Obama stutters during Trump attack. Scholes reporter for asking question at press conference. That's right. Well, in Obama's America, you don't ask the king any questions. Do we have the Obama per se when he was asked about Trump meeting Putin before taking office? Play it now because they may have missed this.
Any characterization that somehow we have improperly challenged Russian aggression or have somehow tried to encroach on their legitimate interests is just wrong.
Just wrong, man.
And Mr. Trump's continued flattery of Mr. Putin and the degree to which he appears to model many of his policies and approaches to politics on Mr. Putin is unprecedented in American politics.
I love when he's unprecedented when Mr. Cool, the Mr. Cool voice pops up. You know he's lying double. He's doubling down on his lies. It's not unprecedented. He is factually incorrect. I mean, with all due respect, he's the most powerful man on earth. I fear him. I don't respect Mr. Obama. I fear Mr. Obama. It's two different things. There have been times I've respected and feared presidents. Actually, there have been times that I've respected presidents, but I really didn't fear them. I had nothing to fear. This one I don't respect at all because he's a liar, and he just lied again. It's not unprecedented for an American citizen of some prominence to try and cool things off when a war is brewing. How many different times do I have to say the same thing? Now do you understand why we have to restore the country after Obama? Do you understand how unhinged and dangerous this man is? Do you understand what I mean by the title Scorched Earth? You think it's a throwaway book? I am a scholar. I am a doctor, a PhD earner, earned a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. I am the author of many scholarly articles. Why did I write the book? Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away. It was assassinated. Our nation is being assassinated by these progs. And if you're going to be complacent about it, don't blame me and don't say I didn't try to warn you. Don't say that I was not the Paul Revere of my time trying to sound the alarm. But I can only do so much. I'm only one man with one radio show. By the way, you can give Savage a piece of your mind. There's a commentary on the state of the Savage Nation at the bottom of this page. It was just added to michaelsavage.com. I didn't even know about it till this morning. So maybe I'll bypass, am I going to get all the haters now? It's not bad enough to have it on Facebook. Now if they read the lunatics on michaelsavage.com, okay, I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Fixer breaks ranks, arranged sex trysts for her with men and women, read all about it, not Inquirer. Look, here's the point. There's no smoking gun. If there was a smoking hen, then the National Enquirer Hillary sex story would have eggs. But right now it has no legs because it has no eggs. It's that simple. There's no woman. If she came forward, they found a woman. Actually, her ratings would go up, as I said. She wouldn't be seen as such an old fuddy-duddy. Really, no kidding. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker might like her then. Just think about that. I mean, if this story really caught on about the thing with the woman, and they could show the woman, and she was still a little together, still looked good, they could do like a duet. Her ratings would go up, not down. You got it all wrong. I think the whole world is so shifted on its axis that this only makes her look... No kidding, man. She was that cool. While her husband was... Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, man. I mean, that's what was going on there. Well, she got even with that bum. That's what's going to happen with this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I had signed a deal with Cumulus, and I knew I'd be back on the air, especially in my hometown on my beloved station, KSFO. And I remember listening to this song and remembering how beautiful it was to be in the radio in the late afternoon, in the winters, when it would get dark, like 4:35, and I'd see the lights of the city come on outside the studios. They were over down at the old Battery Street, KGO building. It was a great age for me in radio. I love those years. And things are up and down. You win stations, you lose them, you're on them, you're off them. That's how radio always used to be. One book you're up, one book you're down. And now we are in the throes of the most contested election in American history. Well, maybe Adam Burr, whoever he was, you know, the duels. Maybe a duel would settle it. Just dueling pistols? And that would be the end of it. Whoever wins becomes president. But this is crazy. So the problem is this, journalists. We always thought that reporters, editors, were supposed to be neutral. Referees on the playing field. Neutrality. Neutral. And they wouldn't root for either side. Right? But during this election, we find out that the, quote, media, as exemplified by the lowlifes that we have seen, Megyn Kelly, Anthony, whatever his name is, Dungaree Job, I can't remember their names, the skinny guy from CNN with the glasses now, we got glasses, Andy Cooper now, now all of a sudden we find out that they're aligned with the Clinton camp. They donate money to that camp? They're journalists or reporters or news anchors and they're on her side? Together they've given more than $396,000 to both campaigns, Clinton and Trump. But most of it's gone to Clinton. 96% has gone to Clinton. You hear? 430 people who work in so-called journalism have through August combined to give about $382,000 to the Democratic nominee. You hear this? That's according to the Center for Public Integrity. So then on the other side, about 50 identifiable journalists have combined to give $14,000 to Trump. That's a lot of money. Who gave that money? Who gave $14,000? They make that in about a minute. $14,000, talk radio ideologues, pay TV pundits and the like, gave $14,000 to Trump. Big deal. They have to disclose who that is. I never gave him any money. Bill Clinton on claim he slept with the black beauty queen. Oh, that's so bad. That's racist. I don't even want to repeat it from Breitbart. It's true. They got it on tape. During a recorded conversation with Jennifer Flowers, her again in December of 1990, Bill Clinton can be heard reacting to a charge that he had an affair with former Miss Arkansas Lancola Sullivan. Oh, do we want to play this? Okay, let's go salacious. Play the tape. Let's hear it.
I just met God. That was an awful experience for me, too, you know.
Well, no, I was just helping.
Awful. I mean, the guy was sort of, it was just, the whole thing was just sort of weird, you know, who they picked and why. And I couldn't, I mean, I literally have no, and haven't even, I mean, I've talked to Elizabeth Ward and got on that list maybe three times in my whole life.
Wow.
I don't have any idea how she made me great.
Huh.
At least Lincoln Sullivan's a friend of mine, even though I don't, haven't ever slept with her. See, I mean, she does come see me when she's in town. So I can see why, you know, at least she's darkened my door.
So this is Jennifer Flowers secretly recording Bill Clinton. This is like, what, during the cigarette phase of the act? Supposed to like having a pell-mell at that point, and she's recording him? And he's boasting about having slept with the... Oh, boy. Oh, boy, is this important when we're almost at war because of Mrs. Clinton and Barack Obama? Yeah, well, America will take the bait. They'd rather hear about this. But you know why we're hearing this now? It's simple. Because the weasels around Hillary started slinging mud at Trump, made up mud. He said this, he sneezed on that one, he rubbed on an airplane, he accidentally rubbed against one, and then she's been brokenhearted ever since. She needed to be held up with tissues the other day in Congress. She was so brokenhearted. So they got it back. They dealt with the wind, and they got the whirlwind. Then you got the lunatic. Biden wants war with Russia. All of a sudden, Mr. Biden wants war with Russia. Listen to clip 14. He goes on NBC saying he's going to go to war with Russia. Listen to this lunatic. 14.
Send a message. We have the capacity to do it. And the message
he'll know
said
it.
That he'll know it. And it'll be at the time of our choosing and under the circumstances that have the greatest impact.
Why would Biden threaten Putin using this phony type Todd, the beer job? What is this about? Why are they suddenly banging war drums in the middle of nothing? I know why. A, they really want a little limited war. It's good for business. B, we forget all the scandals of Hillary. And C, when a country's at war, people tend to cling to the party that's in power. And likely would give the presidency to her because she was Secretary of State. They don't even know that she's the one who caused the instability around the world. But they can't put two and two together. You can't blame the people. Not if they're interested in salacious things every day. You look at cops, you see what America really is. All races. I mean, you just look at them. Melted down. I keep saying in my book, Eddie's going to save us. What, Eddie? Eddie's on, like, oxycodone now somewhere. There's no way. I mean, I'm saying at the end of my book, I have a fictional idea how the country can be saved. The last pages of Scorched Earth. Eddie had children, and not all of Eddie's boys became girls. Not all of Eddie's boys went to Harvard. Not all of Eddie's boys went to NYU. Eddie's boys and girls are still in America, and they still have American values. These blue-collar families are still the majority. They're still the backbone of this country. They didn't vote in the presidential election last because Barry Obama and Mitt Romney didn't speak to them. But I guarantee you, as I said, they're going to vote in the next one. And when that sleeping giant, those former non-participants in the political process, finally elect their leader, you're going to see a change unlike any you've seen in your lifetime, whether you like it or not. This is the last page of Scorched Earth. They'll vote because they'll finally realize that the West is being savaged from within by militant Islamists and secularists from the left. They'll vote because if they do not, Christian beliefs will be stamped out, and the West will be stamped out along with them. They'll vote because they'll finally understand what John Adams, America's second president, was talking about when he said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." You are hearing loud outcries against Donald Trump and the rising forceful Eddies. You're hearing them described as bigots, racists, anti-women, anti-Semitic, homophobic, but these voices will eventually dim. The shouters will be reduced to the marginal characters that they've always been. They'll be put back into the boxes they came from. How do I know this? Because the Eddies will come to our defense one more time. They will stand shoulder to shoulder to honor the legacy of those who built this nation, who fought its wars, who bowed in prayer in a rich variety of faiths, and who raised the families that are the backbone of America. And when they do, I can guarantee you that this nation, that this world, will be a safer place, even for the lunatic fringe. Last words of Scorched Earth. Now that brings us right down to the election. This entire election hinges upon voter turnout. And the weasels in the Hillary campaign tried smearing Trump with the woman thing. It's backfiring. They just got hit with the whirlwind that she had affairs with women and this and that. So it's going to neutralize this smear, and they're going to stop. They should stop them right now, and maybe they'll have to get down to the real issues, on which she is very weak. Once she leaves the platitudes, she's very vulnerable because she's very weak on her actual policies as Secretary of State. A disaster. That's number one. But the whole election hinges upon voter turnout. You see, internal polls, in my estimation, amongst the Democrats indicate that African Americans, for example, are not interested in Hillary Clinton. They will not turn out in great numbers for her as they did for Barack Obama, for obvious reasons. That's number one. Millennials, they're too busy ingesting embryonic fluid to try to live forever, to care about the election. I don't know who they'll vote for. I don't think they're going to vote in great numbers. She doesn't excite them, and Trump doesn't excite them. So the whole election hinges upon voter turnout. Now that brings us around to the Eddies and you and me. If the Hillary campaign can convince you that Trump's finished and he already lost, you won't turn out because you'll be demoralized. That's their entire strategy. If they can convince you that it's a lost cause, they'll demoralize you and you'll stay home. So the whole job here is for you to understand that it's not only a lost cause, he could easily win. If the voter turnout on the Republican side, for want of a better term, is much greater than it was in the last election under Mitt Romney, he wins. That's it. So the whole thing is voter turnout, which is why they will not permit voter ID, which is why they let dead people vote, which is why they scream and yell every name under the sun when you try to, you know, use ID. I went into a medical lab yesterday to get blood work done. Nothing serious, standard stuff. I just show photo ID to show my card. I went to the bank to take money out Monday. My own account. They had to see voter ID. They had to see my driver's license. But you mean the most sacred act in America, which is voting, you're not allowed to show ID? Why? Because the evil, illegitimate, corrupt, criminal Democrat machine lives on voter fraud. That is how you get the kind of government we have now. The day we have voter ID is the day that this corruption ends, in my opinion. But the main message here is that you must vote. Don't be disheartened. Don't give in to the corrupt message that Trump is unfit for office or that he's already lost. Both are falsehoods. And this thing with the women, it's over because it's come back on her today so bad that I don't think you're going to be hearing much more about crying women on airplanes who got hit with, whatever. So that's that. I want to close the segment with something quickly behind sent to me by my dear friend Craig Smith of Swiss America, who's a very loyal advertiser and friend to this show. And he said, I thought of you and I didn't want to send it to you in the middle of a show, but I had to send it to you anyway because you roundly attacked your whole career, but you never gave up. And he says, the Father says today, never mind the accusers. Beware when all men speak well of you. Rejoice when you are falsely represented. The honor of men is not the earmark of success in my kingdom. Men give honor to those that do not challenge their assumptions or predilections. Leave them to me. Keep seeking the kingdom. Do not be distracted by those around you who look upon you with scorn. Be a doer of the work. Set your hand to the work I have called you to do. Others may think they have my mind, but they have failed to look at you through the lens of my perspective on your life. Those who don't do anything will never be criticized. That's a great line. Those who don't do anything will never be criticized. If there is correction needed, I will correct you through loving, mature counsel that will unmistakably originate with me. Take all other detractors and naysayers and give them to me. Consign their... Okay, I get it. In other words, have faith in God. It's that simple. Well, I actually practiced that. I remember there was a time in my life that I wanted to seek vengeance upon someone who had hurt me badly and hurt my family. And someone in my family very close to me asked me to do something about this particular individual. And I was fuming as to what he had done. He had robbed my mother. He had robbed everyone in my family. And they wanted me to do something about it. And I said, you know what? Let God seek vengeance, for I am only a man. And as time came around, this villainous individual fell to the lowest level you could imagine. Eventually, he was put in jail. And then he was broken, and he lost all of his money. And he died a humiliated ending. I think God is the ultimate judge of all things. And I do think that evil eventually is punished. And I'll leave it at that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Scorched Earth is doing better than any of the other books at this stage in my career. That's pretty amazing. My radio show, number one in streaming around the world, talk radio. Number one by a huge margin. Numbers don't lie. Look at TalkStream Live. I didn't make it up. Yesterday, Trump comes on this show. I ask him about, what do you think about meeting Putin if you become president? He says he would meet with him to stop the war talk. It's picked up. Coverage of the Trump comments in the Savage Show are, they go wide. New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, CNN, CBS, Daily News, Breitbart, The Hill, MSNBC, WND, Charlotte Observer, Page 2, UK Daily Mail, Washington Times, Newsmax, Associated Press. In all of my career, in all of my life, I've never seen coverage like this. Now, it's not about me. I understand that. I don't think my ego is that out of control. It's that Trump was on the show and he said something that was not controversial. It was commonsensical. And right away, the left-wing media goes ballistic like he said something crazy. And as I said to you, is there a true liberal out there who disagrees with him? How? Not one liberal has called yet to say Trump was wrong on saying he would meet with Putin to prevent the war. As we speak, Putin is sailing, steaming, they call steaming. They're all nuclear ships. He's got a huge fleet, a powerful fleet, a 55,000-ton aircraft carrier, state-of-the-art. With support ships, missile cruisers, destroyers, submarine, going through the English Channel on the way to his port in Syria. What do you think is going to happen if these chicken hawks provoke him any further? Think about it, my friends. Everything is at stake. That's why you need Scorched Earth.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Let's forget World War III. Let's forget Obama's madness towards Putin. Let's talk about the secret sex freak who would be president. I arranged a meeting for Hillary and a woman in an exclusive Beverly Hills hotel. The man who was hired by the Clintons via a Hollywood executive to cover up their scandals told the Inquirer. She had come to the studio to see the filming of a movie in 1990. While I was there, I helped her slip out of a back exit for a one-on-one session with the other woman. It was made to look casual, even quiet. Do I care about Hillary's flings with women? Why is that an issue? Can anyone tell me why I should care about it? Even when Bill was going after everything with a pulse when he was in the White House, even in the 90s, I said, hey, what do you want me to say about that? We got bigger issues than you know, his sex drive. That's between him and his wife. You know what I mean? Leave me alone with it already. I am a sexual libertarian, number one. That you got to understand that. Don't confuse me with some, moralistic guy who's going to sit here and cast stones at her. The fact of the matter is, so what? Why does this matter? Tell me why. Okay, it matters now because they've been smearing Trump. I get it. Okay, I get it. In other words, the seedy romps of Hillary and Bill is an issue now only because they've been smearing Trump because he accidentally brushed against someone while exiting an airplane in 1914. I get it. Oh, I'm sorry. Now I see why this is an important story. It's spy versus spy. In this bombshell expose, the Inquirer will reveal the fixer's dossier of smoking gun proof, including 24 years of documents, notes, and journals. Clinton Bagman's story in his own words for the very first time. It's a hot story, but I think that World War III and stopping it might be a bit higher on the totem pole of interest for me today. However, I know America. No one ever went broke underestimating the audience in America, as a wise commentator said in the 1930s. But I'm not Mencken. I'm Savage. But let's go back to the really important stuff, like World War III and how to stop it. Tell me what is wrong with meeting with Vladimir Putin to stop the war fever that's going on. Do you know that Russia, as we speak, is sailing a major, major battle group through the English Channel? It's a show of force because just the other day, bumbling Biden threatened a cyber war against Russia. What did you expect Putin to do? Back down? He's not one of the girls surrounding Obama who's never been in a fist fight. The bullies surrounding Obama have gotten to the top of the social order by being radical, piggish bullies. They bullied their way through universities. They bullied their way through government. They bullied their way through every governmental bureaucracy. And now they're running the world and they think they can bully everyone on the planet. Well, they can't. And the last man standing is Vladimir Putin. So he's not going to back down. That's not his nature. You know what's odd to me about all of this is that we have on record Mrs. Clinton herself saying strong countries talk with adversaries. Yeah, you know, wait, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton said it's strong countries that talk with adversaries. In 2015, Clinton said we must empathize with enemies of the United States. Empathize with their perspective and points of view. Can you believe this? And now she's calling him Hitler and wants war. Listen to clip 10 and see the disconnect, the actual insanity that is now passing for dialogue in our political war. Listen to this.
This is what we call smart power, using every possible tool and partner to advance peace and security, leaving no one on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view, helping to define the problems, determine the solutions. That is what we believe in the 21st century will change the prospects for peace.
Which Hillary Clinton was that? Because she doesn't exist anymore. The new Hillary Clinton called Putin Hitler and wants to go to war with him. Now we have two Obamas at least. We have Obama who continuously provokes Russia. And then we had Obama in the past saying strong countries talk with adversaries. Listen to clip 11.
Strong countries and strong presidents talk to their adversaries. That's what Kennedy did with Khrushchev. That's what Reagan did with Gorbachev. That's what Nixon did with Mao. I mean, think about it. Iran, Cuba, Venezuela, these countries are tiny compared to the Soviet Union. They don't pose a serious threat to us the way the Soviet Union posed a threat to us, and yet we were willing to talk to the Soviet Union at the time when they were saying, we're going to wipe you off the planet.
Right on! All power to the people! Right on! Which Obama's running the country now? Which head is screwed on today? In 08, he made sense. So many people fell for the lies, and they voted for him again. They voted for the con man again, because he sounded like a man of peace. In fact, he's a Nobel Prize winner, Peace Prize winner. Now he wants war with Russia. And now he's saying that if Trump's president, he shouldn't talk to his adversary. Why is Obama trying to make us fear Russia more than this government is the real question. And the secondary question, for which I have no answer, only suspicions, is who changed Barack Obama from a let us say, a dove or a peacenik to a war hawk? Who did this to him? Who wants war? Who is behind the stage whispering in his ear telling him to make Putin the worst man on the planet? Who would benefit from an, even a limited war with Russia? It's pretty clear to me that this goes back to the Eisenhower warning of the military-industrial complex. That's on the face of it the obvious answer, that there are people salivating, neocons, neolibs, are salivating for a limited war with Russia. I think even these lunatic profiteers don't want a real nuclear war, but I don't know. Maybe they're in the bomb shelter business. Maybe there's a certain senator's husband who wisely went into the shelter business a few months ago. We don't know that. The one who made vests for our military that failed in combat, he never went to jail. Who knows? Maybe he went into the bomb shelter business a few months ago. Who wants this war? Which one of the three crazy sisters or three crazy cousins in the San Francisco politics want war with Russia? Which one? Boxer, Feinstein, Pelosi? Now all of a sudden, the grandmothers want war? I thought that they were certifiable peaceniks. So who's pushing this war? Where are the voices of reason? The only reasonable voice I heard, other than Trump's, is Jill Stein, who's running as a Green candidate. Even she said that if Hillary's elected, we're liable to have World War III. I am very consistent in my politics. These people on the other side are dangerous demagogues, and I believe they're out of control. So I throw the question back to my audience again. I'm going to throw the question back to you once again. What do you think of Trump's idea to meet Putin? Can someone answer that question? Why won't he meet with Putin instead of demonizing Putin? What's happened to Barack Obama? Who is whispering in his ear? Why are they attacking Putin day and night? I just played you two sound bites. Clinton said we must empathize with enemies of the U.S. That's when they were peddling the Iran deal. In 08, Obama said strong countries talk with adversaries. Okay, man of peace. Now you have the Obama of today, where a reporter asked him about Trump meeting Putin before taking office. This is an astonishing answer that he gave. I want you to listen to clip 9 on the Savage Nation right now.
Donald Trump says Hillary Clinton talks too tough about Vladimir Putin and that both of you insult the Russian leader. He also said that if elected, he might meet with the Russian leader before his inauguration. What do you think of Trump's approach to Putin, and how would it affect America's interest on the international stage?
Any characterization that somehow we have improperly challenged Russian aggression or have somehow tried to encroach on their legitimate interests is just wrong.
Really?
And Mr. Trump's continued flattery of Mr. Putin and the degree to which he appears to model many of his policies and approaches to politics on Mr. Putin is unprecedented in American politics.
You're a liar. Come on, Barry. Cut it out. Not everybody is an acolyte. Not everybody is one of your stooges. Everything you say, we fall on our hands and knees, that the king has spoken. You're just a hypocrite and a liar. What do you mean it's unprecedented? You yourself said that strong countries talk with adversaries. Which side of the mouth are you talking out of today, Obama? We are way past attacking domestic enemies with your fancy double talk. You are now bringing the world to the brink of World War III. The Russians have sailed a major fleet, or sailing it right through the English Channel, including a 55,000-ton aircraft carrier, which, by the way, is not a rust bucket falling apart. They have upgraded the Navy while you have destroyed our Navy. They have upgraded their bomber command while you have destroyed our bomber command. They have upgraded their nuclear arsenal while you have decimated ours. Watch out what the hell you're saying! Who is controlling Obama? The man of peace, I could understand why people voted for him. Nobody wants war, especially people who have fought in wars. Nobody wants war except lunatics. So now you have a complete pack of progressive pacifists who have turned 180, and now they're war hawks. They've gone from doves to hawks for reasons we don't even understand. And they're rattling sabers. They're threatening a cyber war against Russia. And all we're asking is them to sit down with Putin and stop it. Instead, he attacks the one candidate who says he will sit down with Putin and stop this war talk. And then he says Trump's continued flattery of Putin and the way he models many of his policies and approaches to politics is unprecedented in American politics. But he himself in 2002 said the opposite. Suddenly all of the pacifists and all of the anti-war activists want war with Russia. Isn't that interesting how crazy they've gotten? Now let me back up here. This is crazy. It's reached a point where if Donald Trump got up and said, I loved my mother, the New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, CNN, CBS, New York Daily News would run a blockbuster headline that said, Trump hates women. He only loved his mother. Or Trump hates men, only loved his mother. Now, that's how crazy it's getting. And let me tell you something, it's really sickening because there's a lot at stake right now in the world. We are at war with radical Islam. Have you forgotten the number of terrorist bombings and beheadings? Have you forgotten that young girls as young as 7 and 8 years old are being sold as sex slaves in the Middle East? And here we have Hillary Clinton, who represents herself as a champion of women, not mentioning industrial-level rape going on, not mentioning current slavery going on. Now, I got to back it up again on the Savage Nation. Mr. Trump comes on this show yesterday, and in the midst of our very, very natural conversation, I ask him about the Russia situation, and he said he would be willing to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin before Inauguration Day if he's elected as president. All of a sudden, New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, CNN, CBS News, New York Daily News, The Hill, MSNBC, all of a sudden they're attacking Trump for wanting to make peace instead of war with Russia. Have they lost their collective minds, I ask myself. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We are appealing to our friends in Russia. We are trying to tell them that we, the American people, do not hate you. We do not hate Vladimir Putin, and we do not want war with Russia. If there is no one else in America who will dare stand up and say we do not want war, it's a group of renegades in the government who are pushing us towards war, then those of us who have been given a modicum of communication have an obligation to speak out right now. I doubt very much that you will hear anyone else in the media daring to stand up to the government media complex. But we don't want war. See, war is real. The women who are surrounding Obama, and I should say even the men surrounding Obama, seem to have been totally disconnected from reality. I don't know what world they're living in. I don't think they know reality. I don't think they understand that you can't bully your way through everything on the planet by threatening everybody on the planet. They've gotten where they are through bullying and through backstabbing. That's true. But there comes a point at which you don't bully and backstab on the world stage, especially when the other side has nuclear weapons and a leader who is forceful and nationalistic and is now sailing a nuclear fleet through the English Channel. Why is he doing it? Because you threatened a cyber war against him, Mr. Biden. You with the loose lips threatened cyber war against Russia just the other day. And what did you expect Vladimir Putin to do? Say, I'm sorry because you threatened him? You know, there's an old adage. Never get into a fight that you think you might lose, or it's another way. I actually heard it another way. Don't engage in a fight that you're not sure you can win. I was told that when I was young. Never get into a fight that you're not sure you can win. Now, why would this country, with its depleted military, with its destroyed command structure, with a woman in charge of the Air Force who has never flown a plane, glorified air traffic controller, a woman in charge of the U.S. Navy who's never actually steered, I guess, a boat over maybe a Chris Craft on a Lake Michigan. She's now the number one admiral. Suddenly she's Admiral Potemkin. How in the world did this country get upside down like this? It's a comic book, except now we're no longer having a comedy show. Now we're on the verge of a tragedy show. So why is Obama suddenly the other Obama, the one we never saw? Why is he suddenly so militant? I liked him better as the pacifist, the peacenik. At least I knew that I had on one side a pacifist and a peacenik. At least I understood that. And now all of a sudden we have another Obama, Mr. War Power. All of a sudden he wants war. He hates Trump because Trump said that if he wins, he'll meet Putin before taking office. And Obama all of a sudden freaks out. His policies and approaches to politics on Putin is unprecedented in American politics. No, it is not. If I remember the history of America in my lifetime, there were many cases where emissaries who were not president went to adversaries and talked to them. I can go back to the age of the PLO. Didn't we have many times when senators went and talked to Yasser Arafat, for example, to make peace with the PLO? Don't you remember those days? In many cases in the past, Mr. Obama, when power was not centralized, when senators themselves stepped up to make peace, to stop the war talk. But you are, you see, here's the problem. Obama is so power mad right now. Either he feels he's leaving office and he's got to go out with a bang, or he doesn't want to leave office and he wants a big bang before he leaves so he doesn't leave. Well, God knows what's behind all of this. But now all of a sudden he's the opposite of what he was. Let me tell you something. There's a saying in the Bible from Romans 13:7, which applies in this case. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear and honor to whom honor. I fear Barack Obama. I fear Hillary Clinton. I know the customs of America. I pay my taxes to the last cent. But my friends, do you want to see a limited nuclear exchange with Russia because we are living with an administration that is so ego-driven and so power-mad, or worse yet, that they're just challenging him on a daily basis?
Savage.